Judge Not Lest You Be Judged is the title of today, and a very important lesson in the Gospels. It seems judging other people is something we just like to do as humans. It's, for many, like a pastime or sport. We're not immune to judging others at times, although we cloak it in terms like constructive criticism or just simply voicing our opinion. Judging is a learned skill that requires a set of standards. We first develop those standards from our family, and we learn these standards from our friends as well. But perhaps our friends have a greater effect on developing our standards than our parents or family. These are called peer standards, and they do not always agree with the standards we learn at home, so we must be very careful. We also learn standards from our environment, such as the television, radio, and now the internet. This is why we value Ephesians chapter 6, which says, "Raise your child up in the admonition of the Lord, and he or she will not soon depart from it." There is much wisdom in this verse because standards at home are usually the best standards. Then, too, our standards are developed at school and at church. Our standards frame our knowledge of good and bad. Therefore, we either use good judgment or we become judgmental. If we are not careful, we can easily become judgmental, which is not where Christ wants us to be. By discerning our standards correctly, we learn to prudently pick and choose. This is achieved by choice, and we all have that God-given freedom. Choice is our free gift from our Heavenly Father. We use good judgment to uphold our standards according to what God has taught us. Judgmental, on the other hand, is bad because it is formed and derived from selfish motives. So judging is okay, but being judgmental is not okay. Judgment is derived from God, and since God is the ultimate judge, let us learn from him the lessons and standards of judgment. In today's Gospel of St. Luke, we read, "Be ye merciful as your Father is also merciful." In other words, forgive when it is in your power not to forgive. Let me say that again. Forgive when it is in your power not to forgive. This is an act of being merciful. How does this apply to us? Well, our Heavenly Father showed us mercy by not holding us accountable for our sins. God had every right to hold us accountable, but in his great mercy, he forgave us. He could have easily condemned us to perdition because we are guilty. Instead, he showed us his infinite love. So God is teaching us how we are to administer judgment. God wants his believers to show the same compassion, the same mercy, and the same forgiveness as he did when he forgave us. Forgiveness requires love, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 4. Love covers a multitude of sins. And again we read in 1 John, God is love. So love cannot exist without God. When we forgive and show mercy, we are giving the ultimate gift of God to those who receive it. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to shine the light of his saving grace on a sinful world. God wants us to know that there are two things that love cannot do. Number one, love cannot judge. And number two, love cannot condemn. And remember, God is love. So love is God. One equals the other. You cannot truly love somebody if you don't have God in your heart. So Jesus in the next verse tells us, "Judge not lest you be judged." This is perhaps the most critical statement, and we should all pay close attention. What does this mean? This means that we should not be judgmental. When we're judgmental, we're judging other people's motives. Only God knows what's in a man's heart. We can only speculate, but in the end, we do not know. When we act as if we know or behave as if we know, then we're deceiving ourselves. At the very least, we create ill will and maybe hard feelings. Jesus is telling us to be careful how we judge. Judge for the right reasons, such as when we're discerning what are the differences between right and wrong. But do not be judgmental as when we question someone's motives. Neither can we judge another Christian's stewardship or service in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. God is the judge of all such cases. A critical eye or a reason to find fault is not in the spirit of love and violates the law of love. And as I was going over this yesterday with my neighbor, who's a seminarian as well, 88 now, he said, well, maybe you ought to throw in the Greek definition of love. So I thought, well, commercial time, let me throw in the three views of love from the Greeks. The philos being brotherly love, right? Agape being love of God, and eros being love between a man and woman, where we get erotica. Finally, if we decide to be the judge, are we not taking God's place? I dare say this shows either a lack of respect for God and that he can show good judgment, or it shows us to be terribly naive and therefore risk God's judgment on us. The only area God allows us Christians to judge is when we discern what is right and wrong, or what is good and what is evil. Forgive and you shall be forgiven is the next verse. Forgiveness is not necessarily an easy thing. Sometimes we say we forgive and we really don't mean it. We can harbor ill will in us when we think that we have gotten even with that person who deserved it, or we can feel empowered by that mere thought. Yet, we have deceived ourselves. By harboring ill will, we have allowed a seed to be planted in us, and that seed will grow like a cancer. The cancer of not forgiving will eventually overtake us and turn us into the evil we sought to overcome. So how can we prevent this from happening? Well, we are told that we must first repent before we can be forgiven. As we learn from the bidding prayer, ye who truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking henceforth in his holy ways, that tells us how. Therefore, we must repent before we ask our Heavenly Father for forgiveness. Forgiveness then becomes, and I had a problem with this, but I'm going to go forward with it. Forgiveness then becomes an art. I wasn't sure how else to kind of make it. You know, I wasn't sure how to describe that word. But if we look at it as an art form, and I guess because I have a degree in a Bachelor of Arts, I learned the art of forgiveness from two people I am closest to and love dearly. First, my father showed me how to forgive, and then my wife did as well. Many of you know my father, Paul, and know Cynthia. They showed me that to err is human, but to forgive is divine, as Alexander Pope, an English poet, wrote in his essay, interestingly titled Essay on Criticism, back in 1709. Had they not forgiven their fathers, they could have easily developed into the evil that they despised and abhorred. My grandfather, as the Temptations said, was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. He was a father of 9 children, and he kept many girlfriends, and he lived an immoral life. My father despised him and deplored the abuse his father carried out on his mother, himself, and his siblings. There are many psychological studies that reveal behavior is often carried from one generation to another until the chain is broken. Because my father was a Christian man, he broke that chain of abuse. He found forgiveness in his heart for his father, and he became a better man for this. I believe God blessed my father because of his forgiveness. In my wife's case, her father, and by the way, they both had permission for me to use them in this homily. In my wife's case, her father was an abusive man as well. My wife said she reached a point in her mid-teens that she actually wished her father was dead. But my wife is a Christian, and she finally found forgiveness for her father. Here again, I believe God has blessed her because she forgave her father. And there is evidence to the lesson, since her sisters and brother have not fared as well, because all four never fully forgave their father, and it has caused them a lifetime of disappointment and heartache. I found myself nearly trapped by this as well. When I learned of my father-in-law's transgressions against my wife, I had feelings of hatred that nearly overcame me. And 2 years of that. And then finally it occurred to me that I had allowed a seed to be planted in me, and it was becoming like a cancer. Hatred can eat away at the love one has in their heart. And when it does, you become an unhappy and unpleasant person. I have much love in my heart for everyone because God is there. I want to share that love with others. It is God's love that I want to share. So I forgave her father, and although he curses me to this day, I continue to love and pray for him. In their early years, like all of us, both my grandfather and my father-in-law made choices. By their choices, the freedom that God gives them, seeds were planted. Years later, they had become angry old men. On the matter of choice, I believe we are constantly planting seeds in our souls. And if we plant good seeds, then we will reap good fruit. But if we plant bad seeds, then we will reap bad fruit. And we can choose to forgive or we can choose not to forgive. But I can assure you, when we forgive, we will gain our freedom. Not to forgive entraps us, and we become chained to the vices of sin. And if we do not repent of our sins and seek forgiveness, our unforgiving nature will ultimately destroy us. In closing, we read about the mote in our brother's eye, but perceive not the beam in our own eye. We learn in psychology and the study of family systems that the practice of self-examination is a good thing and probably should be done on a regular basis. When we examine ourselves, we find areas of improvement and places that we can grow and mature. For example, looking too long in the mirror can actually be a bad thing. Some people get wrapped up on the outside appearance and spend, therefore, much time and money to improve what's on the outside and forgetting about what's on the inside. Good grooming, yes, is very important, but we should not get too wrapped up in our outside appearance. Rather, we should look at our inner selves and develop our character and spirit. If we read self-improvement books that augment the Holy Scriptures, then we can develop good character and become the examples of good Christians that God wants us to be. It is important how we are viewed by our peers. We should ask, do others see Christ in me? Or, are we living according to the summary of the law? Or, do we treat others as we expect to be treated? Therefore, judge not, lest you be judged. Be good examples of Christian behavior and a good judge of character, not character judges who are judgmental. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.